Welcome back, fellow timekeepers. We're still buzzing after a great pod with the founders of the Watch Collectors Club. If you haven't yet had a listen, do download episode 6. We're also planning to edit a mini pod of just that interview for those keen on that section only. We return to the usual format this time around. You've got Tim and myself talking about a brand which had grown on us both, Panerai. I went to a recent event of theirs while Tim popped into their flagship store recently to try on a few of their pieces. We have a bonus section as we visited the IWC pop-up at Battersea dedicated to F1 legend Lewis Hamilton. We also discussed the watches we were lusting after and then move into our favourite Instagram photos of the month. We're also planning a few things behind the scenes, which we can't reveal now, but we've enjoyed our interview episode, so we'll endeavour to bring you more in the second half of the year. Remember that you can follow us on the Timekeepers 2024, Tim @_watchword, and me at Source Watches. So Tim, what have you got on the wrist this evening?
Oh, yeah, evening, Zach. Yes, so I probably had this on the last episode, but I actually went to the gym today and I had my Apple Watch on, but I thought I can't come to this and talk about my Apple Watch because that would be sacrilege. So I slapped on the Seamaster I've got, so Seamaster 300 in the summer blue. And it's actually nice and sunny at the moment, isn't it? So I thought, why not? Let's put that one on. So yeah, that's me. What about you?
That's a great watch for the weather, or maybe it'll bring out more sunshine. Well, at the moment, I have my vintage 1970s Hamilton, which I purchased in lockdown, probably out of boredom, but I've grown to love it.
Brilliant, brilliant. So we'll move to watches we're lusting after. So you sampled a few watches in the flesh this month, haven't you? Has any taken the crown of much lusted over this month? Or are there other things that have caught your eyes?
Yeah, well, this month I tried on a Rolex Day-Date, reference 18038. It's a classic and elegant timepiece with a timeless design that fitted comfortably on my wrist. It shows explicit and exceptional craftsmanship. Its solid gold case, fluted bezel, and meticulous finishing exuded luxury and quality for me. I love that Day-Date. It's also very practical with a feature displaying both the day and the date, of course, and it adds unique functionality. Only such an iconic Rolex model carries such a sense of prestige, I'd say, often associated with success. And I guess that's why most probably buy a Rolex or any sort of Swiss watch. Additionally, the President bracelet is also a favorite of mine. It's extremely comfortable, and the watch has great investment potential, which is always great to know when buying a watch of that caliber. What about you, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we had our Rolex episode last time around, and we went through a lot of them, and we talked about, you know, things we liked in terms of the day and the date. Perhaps not so much me because of the symmetry, but like I said, everyone each to their own. But we also talked about different bracelets as well, and you also mentioned the President one there. So, I mean, it's for me, it's sort of tempting to say a certain Panerai, but if we save that for the chat a bit later on, I have not lost that Reverso bug at all. I've got it in a big way still. I mean, we can talk about it a bit later, but I went into the store and tried on a few pieces. Maybe I'm going to save that for the next episode because quite a lot happened there. So for me, a big thing is the modern tribute small seconds with the blue dial. But I mean, let's stick to the watch I've sampled this month. I think without giving too much away on our IWC pop-up visit, I had the honour of trying on the IWC Lake Tahoe Perpetual Calendar, which I just find simply incredible. Obviously way out of my price range, but the contrast is excellent, you know, with the white ceramic and then the black dial colour. And I love sort of the four sub-dials, you know, especially the crescent moon style calendar on the top. And then you've got the North-South Air Force, icons. And then you've obviously got the aircraft style sub-dial hands. It's in 43mm, so it's a tad bigger than my chronograph pilot of 41. But the big selling point for me is also the iconic onion crown, which I love. And you don't get that on the 41 pilot chronograph. So it's basically got everything. So that is what I'm lusting after, but obviously could never have. But there we go.
That is an amazing choice. I kind of feel like being there with you, looking at that Lake Tahoe is something special. So we're back and we'll share some of our favourite Insta shots and give the author a shout out. So over to you, Tim.
It's become a theme where I pick three things, but I'm going to slightly tweak it and go with a fourth. But I'm going to talk about favourite reels on Instagram. So obviously, I know Instagram pushes reels left, right and centre. I seem to try and fail when I do mine. I don't have enough time in the world, especially with two little ones running around. So I'm going to stick to photos, but I will talk about reels that I do appreciate. So the first still image is from the Singapore Watch Club. And quite simply, it's a macro of the Cartier crash. It's a bloody beautiful watch, isn't it? The Salvador Dali-esque misshapen dial is incredible with a price tag to match. It's got a red cabochon. Again, previous episodes, I love the cabochon. They should do it in more colours. I think they should bring out a green one, but this one's in red. But the image itself is close up and it's highlighting the distorted dial at an angle from 10 to 2. And it's got obviously the blue steel baton hands. There's a lot of shadow play going on it. So that's one lucky owner. The next up for me is just another watch account. And for me, it's a really fun one. It's his model Rolex Explorer, and it's just nestled on his collection of homegrown carrots, greenery and dirt and all. I think it's hilarious, and I think it's great. The black Mac dial sort of make the orange and green pop even more. And I love how, sort of the sweat of his brow in growing them. Again, haven't seen anything like it, so hats off to him. Do check that one out. And then last on the Insta shots is another fun one for me. As I've said, and the people that know me, I've got two small boys, 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. So the Lego collection is growing at an exponential rate, probably a lot more than the watches, and particularly Marvel and DC. And that's why I love watch figures on Instagram. He's very amusing. And the one I wanted to highlight is him showcasing his Hamilton chronograph. It's got a gorgeous black dial in sort of a gilt golden features on the hands, dial and sub-dials. Like, it really, really stands out. And it's paired with two Lego skeletons and a ton of Lego bones. And I don't own a Lego skeleton, so I'm going to go and find a Lego skeleton online at some point. And obviously, I'm watching Pirates of the Caribbean on Disney Plus at the moment, and it's almost got this like Gold of Cortez vibes to it, skeletons included. So it has definitely tickled me on Instagram this month. And as I said, we haven't had a reel yet on the pod, and I wanted to share the world-renowned Somlo London and its reel highlighting the Patek Philippe explosion dial from 1919. I love crazy vintage dials, and I like my Cartier Tank I own with this radial dial, and it sort of elongated the numerals, and it does something very similar on this sort of rectangular case. It's got blue steel hands, which is an amazing tick for me, and it's got especially the spade or pear-like hour hand, which is super cool. And going forward, I'm going to try and pick out some more reels. So obviously, I've thrown four of those at you, Zach, but which of those shots do you like, and what do you think about the reel? What's your favourite of the four?
Wow. Well, I think you've got you've outdone yourself. You have four great examples there. I love the shot with the carrots, with the Rolex Explorer. That was really playful, and I really loved that. Almost Easter-themed. I also like the figures as well with the Hamilton, and I kind of feel like the actual color of the figures and the shape of the figures, the pirate figures, it matched the dial quite nicely. But I feel like that reel of that Patek Philippe explosion dial is truly magnificent. So if we were to put creativity aside and props aside, I'd probably go with that reel, to be honest with you, Tim.
What about you? What have you got?
Well, first up for me, I have a photo dump, some may say, or photo wheel. Of some very cool vintage watches. Shout out to At On The Rocks. The dump features a gold vintage Piaget with a very cool looking green stone dial and a mesh gold bracelet. Also, a solid gold Rolex Midas, another watch that's kind of been ringing bells within the vintage watch community. And the particular Midas that was shown really stood out to me, as I love the angular integrated bracelet. That's the real standout part of the watch, in my opinion. We also have a solid gold Datejust. Not too sure of the reference, but it was shot very well nonetheless. Secondly, I've got a post, I believe, from victoria.gram. So shout out to them on Instagram. Forgive me if it's slightly wrong. Which was a post of a 1970s Hoyer Carrera, reference 1153. Definitely a watch that I've been kind of looking out for and kind of mentioning to Tim that, is it worth a replacement of the Rolex? Maybe, maybe not. The slides include, Ooh. Yeah, a bit of a tough one, isn't it? As Tim laughs. Yeah, I really just got it. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's kind of the curse of watch collecting. It's like, when is it okay for something to go, and when is it okay for a watch to be replaced? You never really know. I don't think there's a definitive answer. But yeah, back to the Hoyo Carrera. The slides include a shot of the watch head, and the process of him servicing the watch. I thought this was quite cool, a cool way to utilize Instagram slides. And found it quite fascinating to see all of the components within the watch in detail, which was quite astonishing, in my opinion. I've also always loved vintage here. And after that post, I can't say it hasn't influenced me to look into getting one day. So as I mentioned, might be worthy of a replacement.
Nice. I've sort of mentioned my sort of fascination and love of stone dials. So the Piaget green one, you pinged me the pictures a short while ago, and that's the one I probably like the most. It's very cool. I'd love a stone dial in my collection. Like I said, never say never, but yeah. One day. Brilliant. So we're going to go and talk about the IWC pop-up that Zach and I went to. So I've seen a lot of this stuff on Instagram with IWC all over the world. It's great. I think they should do more in London, and they did. So it was Battersea. I don't think it's their flagship store, but it's a huge store. And if no one's been to the new Battersea Power Station with all the different shops, you should do it. There's just some amazing watch shops. Just browse. It's absolutely great. Probably never leave it like a casino. It's just it's beautiful. But this was to celebrate Lewis Hamilton, and I'm a huge F1 fan. And a huge Lewis Hamilton fan as well, right from the very start of his career in Formula One. And it was awesome to see his championship winning car in the flesh. I've seen his one at McLaren, but I hadn't seen the ones at Mercedes. So I was doing loads of wrist rolls over his car. So it looked a bit embarrassing, but a lot of people were doing it, so it wasn't just me. And I brought with me my IWC Pilot Chronograph 41 in the blue. I kind of had to, didn't I? And the staff really liked the pairing that I did with the Marine National NATO strap to match. So they did notice, which is good. And like I said, it's blue with the strap, and it's got like the red line along it, and it matches the second hand in red that I've got. And there's also free champagne, wasn't there, and strawberries and cream, Zach. But no free merchandise. I was wanting a tote bag, wanted a little cup or something. So I was a little bit disappointed in that. But if they do another one, make sure there's lots of merch. They did have special edition pieces behind the glass. They had a Lewis and Toto Wolff commissioned pieces. Two of them were perpetual calendars. And one of these had this burgundy red dial. It's absolutely beautiful. I think that was Lewis's. And the other was the Portuguese Tourbillon with a teal dial. I don't know if I fully like the teal, but I do like a good Tourbillon. And the Portuguese is a great watch as well. And obviously, Zach and I tried on some pieces. I mean, Zach, do you want to say what you went for and what you liked? I think I'll bring you in at this point. Which ones took your fancy? I know you mentioned there was that grey chrono that you tried.
Yeah, definitely. It was an awesome day. So yeah, props to you for letting me know about it. Definitely had a great time celebrating or having a look at the celebration for the decade-long partnership Lewis Hamilton's had with the luxury Swiss watchmaker. It was really cool to see the showcase show some of the authentic moments with Lewis and IWC. Featuring the one-off and sellable pieces, which you've mentioned as well, Tim, that Lewis helped design and he's worn throughout the F1 season. I felt like the staff were super friendly and accommodating and invited us to sit down. And as you mentioned, we got to try on various pieces that they had on display. So he asked which watch kind of stood out to me, of which we tried on. The standout piece to me were from IWC ceramic watches, from the all blue Oceana, which I thought was completely amazing, and blue's my favorite color, to the Moeve desert model, which was very cool, and the kind of sandy, kind of beige color. And then lastly, the Lake Tahoe, which Tim's been nudging me, trying to influence a potential purchase in the future, which was, would be a dream next piece, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Again, the petrol calendar version is just incredible. I'd really love that one, but I kind of think it's out of both of our price ranges. But it's whoever gets to own one, fair play to them. They're very beautiful. I mean, for me, I was transfixed on the Lake Tahoe that I mentioned earlier. But I loved the opportunity to just try it on. I don't think I was brave enough to try it on before in the store, but they let us do it in the pop-up. again, I want to see more of this happen. I touched on it earlier. You know, going into a watch store can actually be quite intimidating, even if you go in with like a nice watch on yourself. So, you know, I get the reason for security, but it's often far too formal, you know, in a watch store. And so I think opening up and going on tour and teaming it with one of the companies they sponsor is fun and engaging way to grow your audience, even if they can't necessarily afford the watches at that time. It's just a way, like I said, demystifying all the process. So, you know, fair play to IWC for doing that. And I think they should keep doing it and bring more people along. Talk about Panerai next, aren't we? So Zach, you had a great time, didn't you, at the flagship store? So I'll let you talk about
that first. Definitely our topic, Panerai, today. So yeah, as you mentioned, I did have a great time at the flagship store on Bond Street. The night was hosted by Fieldings in Nicholson, so shout out to them. An evening introducing some of the fantastic work Field and Nicholson do. So they basically do tailoring in the Mayfair area. Also interesting to learn that Panerai do offer options for those of a slightly smaller wrist and those looking for slightly smaller case-sized watches. So that was brilliant. It was also quite nice at the end of the evening, to learn more about the various movements within the certain Panerai watches, the different models, with their in-house watchmaker, which was like a great treat. He was extremely friendly. And he was talking us through all the different parts that make up Panerai watches. And also we had a taster session with Glenfiddich, which we got to taste lovely blended whiskies infused with different types of flavors, which was brilliant. Back to the watches then. So I did get to try on a few models, starting with a ridiculous, in a good way that is, submersible. That was a 44 millimeter and made out of solid rose gold. Which was very crazy. Also, I got to try on a slightly understated Rodeo Mir 40. Forgive me if I've kind of butchered that. Which came in a green dial and gold numerals with a kind of burgundy brown vintage looking strap and a polished steel case. Definitely out of the two, the latter is something I'd probably go for more, but amazing to see what Panerai do in their amazing versatility. The 40 sizing was a 40 millimeter, which is nearing the upper limit of what I'd usually go for. But because the watch carries a slim profile, it did kind of work incredibly well, and I was proven wrong. Tim, what do you like about Panerai?
Before we go into it, I'm still grumpy you didn't find me because I didn't even realize that it was also about like tailoring. So I sort of haven't forgiven you yet. But next time something like that is on, particularly suits and tailoring, you've got to let me know.
Definitely.
So, I won't hold you, don't worry. So as I've said, the brand's slowly grown on me. I was really put off by the case sizes. Anything above 40, you think, that's not going to fit my wrist. What's going on? It's silly. How can someone pull that off? They look ginormous. And to be honest, the price is kind of crazy for what you get. You know, a lot of them are pushing like five figures. And you could probably spend more money on another watch brand. But saying that, I've been drawn to the angular case shape that they have. It is unique. I don't like saying that word, but it is iconic. It is their thing. You know, they look properly industrial and hard wearing. And as I said previously, it's like an old water diving helmet from like, you know, Victorian times or something. They're also great to photograph at various angles on Instagram. So another shout out, I particularly like Martin Taylor watches. I think he's in the United States. He's got so many, he has so many great shots of Panerai. And also we mentioned CMQ2 Lancet last time, but he does some really good photos with Panerai as well. So I think it's only right that we shout out to them as well. So if we move to obviously some of the iconic models they have, Rodeo Mir, the Wirelugs are a particular favourite of mine from that range. It's their original watch, and I love that near vintage vibe it gives off. I do dislike references, especially on the podcast. I've said this before. because no one can actually see the watch in person. But for me, it is the PAM 1335 or PAM 1334 with their gradient color dial, similar in some ways to the Seamaster I've got on now. And that's at the top of the list for me. They've got one in blue and another in this really cool gray. So sort of on the outside, it's like, you know, sort of really dark, and then it gets lighter as you go in. And they call it a degradé style, so it's like degrading. I also like the 8-day range with their sub-second dial. Again, I do love sub-seconds. And again, they do it in this degradé style in dark blue, which I thought was pretty neat. But again, comes back to symmetry. You know, it's sort of broken, which makes me a little bit upset. So while like the PAM, again, 992 from that 8-day collection does try to keep that neatness. Once again, it's the only thing that looms is the 12 and the 6 and the sub-second glows, but the 8-day part doesn't. So like where the 3 would be, and it's just a really missed opportunity, because obviously you're going to talk about the loom, but you know, the loom's fantastic, but you've got to do it for the whole watch. But yeah, I mean, I love the way they use the sandwich dial design as well. You know, my Seamaster's got a sandwich dial, but I think the numbers are too small. So even at a slight angle, you can't actually tell the time, which kind of defeats the point of a watch. But you've got no issue with that with Panerai. You know, the loom is incredible. And again, people know me, I like the seconds hand. So while many of the ranges don't keep the symmetry, I do get the second hands on some of them. And there are a few models that include both, which I really, really do love. But for some reason, the price jumps too high to actually justify all of that. And then lastly, for me, we spoke on the last episode about my love of the California dial, which is obviously you've got half of it is Roman and the other half is Arabic dial. Panerai have them in spades, and there's one that I'm completely besotted with, and that is the PAM 1349. It packs a green dial, and we all know I love a green dial, and in bronze, just like my Oris Big Crown Pointed 8. It's a watch after my own heart. The only downside, crazy ass price. Why is it that price? But I tell a lie, there's a small downside. They leave off the name Panerai and the model Radiomir, so it's completely blank on the dial, and that kind of annoys me. If you spent all that money, I think people should people should be allowed to put their like model and name on it. But there we go. And Panerai also do sunray dials, don't they? That are more dressy, and they're sublime. I'm put off buying one because I've got my sunray or sunblast dial on my IWC Pilot Chrono. And I think they're called Officine, if I recall correctly. And keeping with the retro vibe, many in the Radiomir range have that blue steeled hands. So that's sort of great in my book. But Zach, what's your favorite in the Radiomir range? And would you ever buy one? And if so, which one?
Yeah. Well, I'm starting to like Panerai Radiomirs for a bunch of reasons. First off, it's got a cool history. Having been made for Italian Navy divers, which I think you've mentioned back in the 1930s, which gives it a sense of heritage and legacy. And I always feel like that's quite a cool thing when looking into a watch. Also, I quite like design. So it's unique cushion-shaped case, large dial and minimalist design. It gives it a bit of a timeless and classy look with clean lines and easy to read dial. That's pretty appealing. I often kind of feel like people look into watches that look great, but sometimes aren't so legible. So we can't really forget that watches are to tell time, and, you know, legibility is pretty important. So that's pretty cool that it covers that. Yeah. The Panerai is known for its top-notch craftsmanship. I think we can't deny that. And the Radiomir features detailed, sturdy construction and precise engineering, and making it a reliable and durable watch. Plus, Panerai watches aren't as common as some other luxury brands. So like you've kind of hinted to Rolex being, you know, the default. So it's quite cool having Panerai brands. So having a Radiomir can feel a bit more special and unique. Its versatile design works well for both casual and formal occasions, which is a nice touch. And let's not forget its luminous dial, which makes it easy to read in low light, adding to its practical charm. All these factors come together to make Panerai and Radiomir a standout piece for me, I'd say, that you'd be proud of to have in your watch collection.
Cool. One thing that's sprung into my mind, and I'm going to talk about it in later episodes, actually, but I saw on Instagram the other day, this Japanese as a watch designer, and he, I think he takes or like riffs off the ready-made design, and he just absolutely batters them. And it looks like it's been in the sea for 100 years, and they look incredible. And he's got like his, I don't know if it's his name in Japanese or like his watch brand in Japanese, sort of running from like the 12 to the 6 in a vertical position. And they look incredible. I don't know how much they cost, whether they're for sale, whether it's only Japan only. But I'm going to pick that up for another episode, but it made me think about that. So we'll save that for another time. But if we move to the other mainstay in their collection, which is the Luminor. So again, they've got similar dial finishes like the Sunray and those of the 8-day of the Radiomirs. However, the main distinguishing feature is the crown guard. We did a whole section on an earlier podcast about watch crowns, and I urge listeners to revisit that. I won't go into loads of detail here because of that episode, but it is iconic, much like the Cartier-Cubichon, but for completely different reasons. Panerai are industrial, heavy duty. Cartier are pretty and dainty, but it just goes to show you it's not just a watch. Watches can be different things to different people, whether they're designers or engineers. You know, beauty is truly in the eye of the beholder. They even do a moon phase version that I'm really taken by, but I think they're more for a female geared watch, but I don't think that really matters. I like a good moon phase, and more watches should bring that back. I think it's called a Jouer Luna, I believe. Would I buy one? I don't think so, because I prefer the Radiomir. So if I had a pot of money and I was going to go Panerai, I would definitely go for the Radiomir because of the wire lugs, I think. You know, it does look pretty massive as well, you know, the Luminor without that wire lug design of the Radiomir. But they do have those more female-focused watches sort of starting at 40 mil or under. Zach, do you like the Luminor?
Yeah, I am a fan of the Panerai's Luminor. Firstly, I'd say because of its standout design, it's quite unique, like you mentioned, with the crown guard, its rich history, also like as mentioned, tied into the Navy again, and also the quality and craftsmanship of the watch. I kind of like the Luminor has a bit of a tough and masculine vibe that looks great anywhere. Plus, owning one gives you a bit of status boost, I'd say, as well. And let's not forget, it's versatile enough to rock both casually and formally, I'd say.
Definitely. I mean, the brand's really growing on both of us.
Yeah.
Would it be in my collection one day? I think maybe. What about you? Would you
add? Yeah, I think definitely after my visit to the flagship store, I was really convinced. Like I mentioned, I used to think it was only 44 millimeters, huge, thick cases, but I've kind of realized that there is a bit more variation, and I think they're kind of probably listening to more of the community in terms of what people are looking for. So I wouldn't say no.
Talked about watch straps as well on previous podcasts, and the watch straps are huge in terms of width, and that kind of annoys me, particularly if you've got like a thinner wrist. So again, I'm not saying, you know, Panerai listening, but you know, if they could design thinner watch straps, that would also be a big sell, particularly if it made the wire lug sort of pop on the Radiomir. That'd be really cool. So what have we got? We've got a green cabochon, and we've got thinner watch straps on the Radiomirs, as well as bring back moon phases. I've got a long list, haven't I?
Yeah.
A long list. Need to make the perfect watch, people. Got to make the perfect watch. So that brings us into the curtain down another episode. It was fun showing our tales of IWC pop-up and Panerai as a brand, which is on our radar more and more. And again, I said I could see Radiomir in my collection one day. So we're working to bring you another guest interview, this time with a watch dealer who will pull back the curtain on a few secrets of buying and selling watches in the industry, and which watch brands are hot right now, and predictions for 2025 and beyond. And I'm really looking forward to that to drop in August, and I know Zach is too. I think we're also going to pick up Breitling for our next episode's deep dive, and I love the Chronograph 41 that they have in that pistachio green. You know, it's simply stunning in the light. Again, green dials for the win all the way. So thank you again for keeping time with us. Do give us a like on Timekeepers 2024. Follow us as well. You know, you've got Zach on Source Watches and me on Watchword. So it's goodbye from Zach, and it's goodbye from me. Over and out.